had it on, Scott, and then I turned it off, Scott, and now I realize it's back on. So thank you, Scott. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. Those that are normally in here on Sunday night are thinking, hey, we've already gone over chapter 1, and we have, but tonight I'm preaching, and Zach asked me just before the service, he said, what are you preaching on? And I said, oh, I do know, but it's one of those messages that don't have a lot of notes. What does that mean, Jason, if they don't have a lot of notes? You're going to be here a while. It's okay. I don't think it'll be that long. I can always ask Jason because he's been here 17 years. He knows. Mark likes it. He's been here 17 years. He's been happy the whole time. So that's a good way to do it. Well, let's read a passage and then we'll pray. And then I want to get into some of the things that Paul addresses with this church. This first epistle, if you've been in here on Sunday night, this is the first epistle that's written to any of the New Testament churches. And so it gives us a great template of how a pastor should approach the people of the body, irrespective of the issue that he's dealing with in writing the letter, which is the second coming of Christ. There is much in this letter that as a pastor I hold to, I pray over, I read on behalf of you on a regular basis, and I'm going to touch on some of those not in a exegetical way, but more of a topical way tonight. The title of my message tonight is The Joy of Pastoring You, and that is the privilege of a pastor to say. Paul would often write of the joys he had and the joy he derived from the people that he ministered to, the way in which they impacted his life. We'll read the first couple verses here, verses 2 through 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We'll pray and then we'll jump into the thoughts tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, I could insert here, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election, your salvation of God. Father, help us tonight as we cover certain aspects of my personal talks with you. I pray that you will guard my heart. I pray that you'll direct my thoughts. Lord, these, your people, are very, very important to me. And I thank you for them. There would be no pastoring if it weren't for people. And the pastoring here is quite easy on the scope of things because of the desire of these people to serve you. So help us tonight as we look at these things and then as we commune together around the table, remembering what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul says that he gives thanks to God always for all of the church members. I read after one commentator once who said, do you think he really meant all? And the answer is, yes, I do. Because sometimes when you're a pastor, you look at what God has given to you and you are amazed that he would give to you such kind-hearted and gracious people. Yes, the church is filled with sheep. There is that famous video that we have all seen probably somewhere on social media where the soul comes to save the man, or the man comes to save, I should say, the sheep stuck in a ditch. And after 2 or 3 minutes of struggle and fight, he rescues the sheep from the ditch only to see it bound 3 steps further and dive right back into the ditch. And I realize that's typically how sheep are. But I can tell you that as a church, when sins have been confronted, when problems have been addressed, when the Lord has shown himself evident in an area, we as a body have always responded. He says that he makes mention of them in his prayers. That is true for me. I have a list on my phone of every church family. every member family, and every attending family as well. If you are a member family, I try to get to you every day in my prayers. And if not every day, it's every other day that I will make it through the list. As we grow, it's getting harder to pray for everybody every day, but I try to. I know there is one who prays more for you even than I do, and it's my wife. She prays consistently, especially for you ladies, day after day after day. It is what God has called us to. It is what we enjoy, investing in your spiritual well-being. Well, with this, I think there's a little bit of conversation that I ought to have, and that is of the people that I'm specifically thankful for. Now, I don't have time to go through 131 different member families thanking each of you for who you are. And the teenager's like, oh, man, I was hoping you'd get to me tonight, Pastor. So the boys down here are all having a good time with me. So tonight, I'd like to focus on a few. And first, that would be the staff. I have a fantastic picture of the staff here. Laura's going to give birth to that baby. A couple months ago, we had staff pictures taken by Laura Mitchell. She's up here giggling. You don't have that baby, okay? I promise, do not do that. Luke will be mad at me. And she sent Pam a link to our pictures and said, the photos are done. And Pam sent this to us and put it up in staff meeting on a Monday morning. And I thought, that is fantastic. And I never knew where I would put it into a sermon. And here we are. I mean, with a staff like that, Alec, I think, is my favorite. That or the man bun on Wes with the goose. I think that is just priceless. Ariah, do you have a favorite one? You are pointing them out, girl. Which one? She loves them all. Miss Kathy has her chef's hat on and a plate of pasta there. I don't know. Pam's like stuck in the 80s with jazzercise, I think. Edward is the sheriff. Now, the next slide, Drew, is the actual slide. There's a real one of all of us. I left myself off this one. Monday after Monday, these people gather in my office for an hour or so of review and readiness for the work of the ministry that lay before all of us as a church body. I appreciate immensely on a day like today, your all's thanking of me and praise the Lord, Pastor, for. But the work of the ministry significantly is done through those six people. The work of this place would not be accomplished in the form and fashion that it is without their efforts in the ministry. And so as I talk to each of them tonight in front of you, I would like for not to look at them. So I won't look at Zach and Sarah. I'll look right over their head as I start with them. I appreciate who Zach is. He's not my own son, though I'm old enough to be his dad. But since he came on staff in 2021, he has given great evidence of a yieldedness to God. It is apparent to you, the church family. You know it. I am grateful for you, Zach, and for your love for the Lord. I can tell you this year would not have been doable without a young man who knows the Bible, can defend what he believes, and ably feed the flock of God. The Bible allows me this privilege tonight. It says, let another man praise you and not your own lips. I'm thankful for Zach's earnest Bible study, his faithful preaching. He thoroughly enjoys throughout the week to pop in the door. I actually pop in his door now more than he pops in mine, but to just step in my door and say, do you have a minute? And if the door's open in my office, it's always an open opportunity for the staff to ask and hopefully to grow if I can help in some way. He enjoys the deep things of the Word of God. He enjoys the elements of counseling and improving the people of this place. I believe sometimes you do better than I do, and that's a commendable trait. You are faithful in preaching. The Bible here says, I'm thanking you, so that's what I'm doing tonight, my friend. I appreciate as a young man your disciplined walk with God. It's to an older, middle-aged pastor. It is encouraging to see someone in his late 20s now grow into a mature pastor himself. I say this to the body whole. I hope he and Sarah stay here forever. But I also know that God has a big world that needs people to be helped. And so as long as we have them, we rejoice in them. And at some point, if God leads them somewhere else to do what we do here, so be it, and we'll be on your side the whole way. But I hope it's here for a while. To Edward and Dana. I skipped Pam. I'll come back to you, I promise. In my notes, I just have you below there. I just got the pictures out of order. I have appreciated your friendship. Edward knew me before I got right with God. Is that fair? He knew my mom and dad. He loved them. He served in the church where they attended, and my dad was a deacon. I'm certain he was one of the men that prayed for me that I would get my heart right and my acts in line with the Word of God. He probably thought, who is this young punk that will show up at church acting like he owns the place? Your friendship and your mentoring have meant the world to me. Your consistency is inspiring to me. I know why you are the man of God that you are, and I know the mistakes in your past, but I appreciate who you are and why you serve him like you do. Dana, I've enjoyed knowing you. Sarah, I should have said something nice about you. No, okay, she says no, don't do it. I remember the day that Bob and I knocked on your door. How many years ago was that now? 13, 14 years ago? It was a long time. Bob Graham and I knocked on our door, and it was Bob's turn to do the gospel presentation. He said, I'm Bob Graham. My dad is Billy Graham, like he does all the time. His dad's name is William Graham, but not the same one we know. And I remember from that moment on, with your grandkids by your side, you started attending. I remember when you two got married. I did the wedding. It was on a Sunday night, right before church. It was glorious. Then they went on their honeymoon with a bunch of you from church. How many went on their honeymoon with them to Italy? Chris did. They had it planned before they got married, and then they got married and said, this is a great honeymoon. And it was a great honeymoon. I am glad that in 2014 that God led you back across the pond to Kentucky, as you call it. I will say, Edward, your love of souls and your drive to energize and motivate God's people to reach more for Christ is an encouragement to me. It is your labor of love, the toil and turmoil, to have people grasp the importance of sharing their faith. To Pam and to Scott. Scott's like, I'm not paid. You don't have to talk to me. I should just call you guys Todd. But to Pam and to Scott. Pam, your administrative gifts keep the church functioning at an optimum level. And all the staff said, amen. Amen. I often say to people in meetings, whether it's banks or builders or things like that now, Pam is kind of the brains of the church. Now, I don't mean that sacrilegiously. Christ is the head of our church. All of us know that. But for Pam, she's like the central database and the keeper of all details. Am I right, Scott? We are greatly privileged as a church family to have someone who, if she decided to go into a corporate world or to go into a bank, because her children are grown, she could. She could make three times probably what she makes here. But I would imagine you would not get the blessing that you get in doing what you do here. In fact, when there was an opening for an administrative position here, she was praying before we ever made it public that there would be a way for her to come on the church staff and be a blessing to the church family here. And it was within weeks, I think, of her beginning to pray that way, God clearly opened the door and it was obvious. That's when you know God's at work. So, Pam, we thank you for what you do in keeping us all in line. Even if sometimes in staff meeting we all kind of roll our eyes when there's a long list from Pam. Her administration has brought Scott in for much voluntold work here, for which the church is greatly indebted. He does not like to be called out. That's why he likes to sit at the soundboard and stay hidden. But the air conditioners of this place would have cost us a year ago almost $25,000, and Scott repaired it completely of his own accord. How many hours was he here that day, Pam? Like 2 or 3 days in a row, 10 hours a day? He doesn't want you to know that, but I do. Because we should thank those that serve God faithfully and sacrifice in such a great way. To Wes and Jessica. I feel like I'm at a yearbook convention here. I'm just going down the list, right? Your leadership, Wes, and investment into the children of the church give life to their edification and their education programs. I would not have thought a farmer would serve as a children's director. But God did. And you are perfect at it. I didn't say you're perfect in it. I said you're perfect at it. But you're pretty close to perfect in it. Jessica, you indeed are the perfect helpmeet for Wes. Not just for ministry, but for life as well. I have grown all of the guys on the staff. They get an hour with me each week, and they can study anything from the Bible they want in their hour with me. Wes asked for Daniel last year to study the book of Daniel. I thought, why the book of Daniel? And then we were done. We're like, oh, I get it. This year, I'm making him study the book of Acts because I don't know where God's leading this farmer boy, but it may be into full-time ministry. And there's no person that can go into full-time ministry without knowing the book of Acts in a local church. You have to know the book of Acts. It is the handbook for the church. Billy and Kathy, I don't think, are here this evening. They had an appointment that they had to go to. But they have been part of Bluegrass from the first Sunday. She's back in Sunday school. I'm sorry. Billy's probably out on security. Yeah, all right. Billy, you're going to get this in 18 seconds. I'm sorry. That's the delay for you two, for the security guys watching out there. So they're here, as they've been since day one. They have been here since the first Sunday. I always look at Kathy as the godly, caring, loving mom of the church. Am I right on that, Jessica? My Jessica, yes. She's just been the mom. I remember when Nate was born, and both grandmas, Nanny and Grandma, live still in Virginia. And somebody had to keep Drew. Neil and Cookie came and slept on the couch during the false alarm of Nate coming and being delivered because we didn't have any family here. But it was Kathy who took Drew into her care. And we have two other boys, but there is no person to Kathy like Drew is to Kathy. She'll defend him like an extra grandma. As a staff member, Kathy is excellent in her tasks. She is open-minded to new assignments as they come. I remember when she started making the bulletin, she said, I have never used a computer. And I said, well, here's one. You can do it. And she learned it. Most people, when they've retired from their first job, don't want to learn it. And she said, I'll try because it will help the body. It will help the church. Many times her clerical work goes unnoticed by many in the church, but it does not go unnoticed by me. It's important. It's important that everything here is done excellent. It's important that things are not left to slip through the cracks. To Alec and Audrey. Audrey, I know you just transitioned. Alec has taken over her work. She's excellent at doing the cleaning. but I need her to be a wife and a mom someday. And so I gave that to Alec in the recent weeks. Alec, your mind for the Lord is a joy to engage. It really is. You have a willingness to take on tasks that nobody else wants to take on. And that's a good thing for a young man to do. Particularly for me, the digital and technical aspects. I did that at the Pentagon and for the CIA, and I was done doing computers when I started a church. And I realized very quickly I was going to be stuck doing computers for the rest of my life. I hate doing technical support. And I appreciate how you've taken a massive burden off of me. Some people will say, Pastor, your preaching's been a lot more free and better recently. It's because I don't have to deal with all the technical, as Edward calls them, niggledy bits of life. All the problems. I used to be that guy on technology, and now Alec is that guy. Hallelujah. You see what I just did there? In preaching, I also pointed all of you to him for the technical question. Good luck. Audrey, you indeed are the perfect match and mate for Alec. As we did your premarital counseling about a year and a half ago now. You guys are getting old. It's okay. It was obvious that the two of you were, I believe, heaven made for each other. And you're a wonderful joy to our church family together. Now, there's one picture that's not on there, and that's Joe and Abby. This is the best one I could find of them. That's a good one, Joe? Is that the one you sent me by email? You said this one, Pastor. This will make her blush. They're the newest staff members just in the last few weeks. Here's maybe a better one of them. Is this on the honeymoon? All right. I stole from your Facebook. I get on Facebook like once a year, and so I got on there and I found some pictures, okay? We are excited about what they're coming to do. In the process of getting to know Joe, it has been great to know how you think and how you process life. As a middle of six, is that right? Middle of five? Well, that's a middle. See, that's what a middle would say. I'm a baby, so I'm just kind of spitballing here, and you're a middle. See, that's what a middle would say. A second of six. Pardon me. Pam, somebody's looking for your job. You have already both brought extra energy to the teens and to the music here at Bluegrass. Zach and Sarah led the teens wonderfully and would have continued to do so, but as I saw the staff and the needs for growth and expansion and what ministries needed to be developed even more, Zach was required elsewhere, not because you teens, and I've told you this in person out in the teen group, not because you weren't important, but because you're so important, we needed to go find somebody that could be wholly dedicated to helping you mature and grow in your faith. And so sometimes good people have to move out so other good people can move in. And that's what's happened. It is a joy to work with this staff. So to the staff this evening in front of the church family, I would say thank you. I can certainly say over the past 6 months, the ability of the church to maintain, sustain, and grow is directly due to them picking up the areas in which I had to be absent in. Over the last 6 months, while you all have been praying for us as a church family, Jessica and I have been solely praying for the staff that while we are distracted with health concerns, they would be able to maintain and sustain the work of the ministry here. Because at all costs, this work cannot suffer. But I was necessarily needed elsewhere. And many of them over the last 6 months have borne extra burdens, and I know that it has not been easy. I just realized we need to get some staff members that sit over here. These poor people don't even know I'm preaching to them tonight. You all sit over here. I would also remind the staff of what it says down in verse number 6. Look there with me. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "Ye became followers of us." Those who are entrusted with a position of being a staff member have higher expectations on them. The church follows our example. It can be a difficult calling at times, but there is no greater joy, as you each know, in serving Jesus as you serve the people. The next group that I would like to thank this evening and rejoice over are our deacons. How many of you know who our deacons are? Well, there they are. I did not have a cool picture of them. We'll work on that, Laura. To Brother Mike and Miss Jerry, you have been a wonderful sounding board. You've been a mentor and often my go-to counselor for any and all in our church who have financial questions. I know that I can send them to you and they're in safety. They're likely going to get better spiritual counsel than I can give them. And I appreciate that. For 14 years, and it's amazing that you guys have been here, right? 14 years, you both have served faithfully. I have pictures, Mrs. Duffy, and I would not put them up, of you sweating profusely, working in the children's ministry for so many years that you've worked. She also does all of our decorations. I had to move. There was a church, one of my friends, Scott Wendell, and his church, Valley Forge Baptist Temple, sent us this beautiful bouquet for our arrangement today. And so I had to move your flowers over there. And so please forgive me. But Mrs. Duffy is the one that makes sure we always are seasonally appropriate. And I thank you for your ministry. I do believe for the two of you, your ministry this side of heaven will not be fully known. And it's just how both of you like it. And so I'll stop. To Jason and Jolie, you've been here from the beginning. See, I can do it to you. You're going to do it to me in just a minute. I already know this. I know you like a book. In fact, I threatened Scott in the back to put up a slide of you when you come up at the end of the service where you have hair. But I couldn't get a straight shot of it. You're always slinking away out of the picture when I snap it back in those days. You have been a leader since the early days, and you've been a true friend. The Bible often talks about David and his mighty men and those who were closest to his heart. And I don't know why we are knit at the heart, probably because we're both ornery by our very nature, but anytime that I have questions, not so much of a doctrinal position, but of a daily life position, we usually will grab lunch and you will say, "Pastor, just tell me what you're thinking." And it means the world to me. Jolie, you have been a loving support for my wife and for the people of the church as well, so long as you've been here. You've taught in almost every area that you can teach in. You lead life stages. You organize everything for Jason so that he can look like he knows what he's doing. And you both are a blessing as well. To Chris and Jen, I know Jen's either in the nursery or at home tonight, but you run the security. We had a great conference yesterday for those guys that are on security. And if you want to be on security, go see him because it's a great way to keep the church safe in these darkening times. But Chris has been also a leader of a life stage. He's been the one in the old days put together the, what was the Dave Ramsey thing called? The financial piece you ran for years. But the bulwark of the family is Jen. I always give her a hard time. I call her Jennifer. She doesn't like to be called that. But Jen runs our nursery. There is no harder job in the church than running nursery. Because it's a constant, not disappointment, but it's a constant plug and play. Who can't be here? And we understand it. If you have little kids, they're going to get sick. But she always does it with a smile. Now, she may come home and fuss to you. I don't know. But the ministry of the nursery is important. Because it allows those infants and crawlers and toddlers to have a safe place with people who know what they're doing, so that parents can, if they choose, to give their utmost attention in the services. To Jamie and Min Young, they are out, I think. They did all of the preparations for the Lord's Supper tonight. There you are. I looked right over you, buddy. That beard hid you right there. I looked at Cody, and I'm like, well, that's not him. I appreciate what you all do for the leadership that you give to your life stage, to your faithfulness to the Lord. I remember before Jamie and Min Young got married, how many years have you been married now? 10 years. I did their premarriage counseling way back then, and they're still together. 6 babies. I guess it worked. But I remember when he started coming to church here, his big old legs would stick out underneath our dining room table while we did discipleship together, just studying the Bible and learning. You are a faithful testimony of one in your family. I know your dad was godly, but you're the only one that goes to church. Thank you. It means the world to me that you and Min Young are faithful here and that you serve the people here. To Brian and Shannon, I have been amazed. Someone graciously gave to us a rowing machine. I love that. And the other day I was rowing and I was just watching Brian teach on Baptist distinctives. How many are in his Baptist distinctives class right now? Isn't it great? I mean, it just is fantastic. Brother Keith, yours is fantastic as well. I've been taking them in as I do my exercises. Brian, when you came over, I know that both you and Shannon had gone through a valley and that spiritually it was difficult. But you both trusted in the living God and found a church where you could call home. You know, when somebody really loves the church, they moved closer just to be close to church. When you all did that, it reminded me of another guy that was a deacon that I knew for about 30 years. My dad would never live more than 5 minutes to 7 minutes from church. And so when our church built its building in Virginia that I grew up in, it moved literally across the county. My dad sold his house and moved so that he could be close to church. It speaks to who you are. I appreciate how you lead. You, along with Brother Mark Woods, do a wonderful job, as I call it, the accounting back end here. I know it's got an official name, the treasurer's position, but you do a wonderful job. I've never known, I'll borrow a little bit of your time with Mark, I've never known what people give, and I never want to. And you two will staunchly defend that. The people of this place are privileged to know that the two of you men keep them safe in that way. It's a wonderful blessing. And then to Shane and Erica, do we say, are they here tonight or are they in the back? They might be in the back. They're the newest deacon. They're a wonderful couple. They do a wonderful job leading the home builders. If I could just get Shane to not like the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think he'd be the perfect person. He's an excellent teacher of the Word of God. He knows the Bible. Again, the two of them are coming from a home very much like Jamie. No spiritual background. By the way, first-generation Christians are usually the best kind of Christian because they really want what God has. It's a joy. I could go on with our life stage directors, our ministry leaders, to Keith and Aaron, how you run the Forerunners, how you run the North Lexington Gospel Blitz, how you do pretty much anything you ever asked to do. You do it well. You do it exceptionally well. To Stuart and Yvonne, they do an excellent job with their life stage as well in leading it. To Neil and Cookie, you've been stalwarts from the beginning. In fact, you were here before you even moved here from Huntington. And then you moved here to be closer to family, and you found in the process a great church. Miss Teresa, are you in here tonight? No, she's ducking out as well. She's probably in nursery or somewhere else serving. Teresa Mazzoni does a wonderful job leading our ladies' ministry. Doug and Tammy do an excellent job with our greeters. If you want to be a greeter, see them and smile like them. That's really the two components. Just welcome people to church. I could thank dozens of others who serve with excellence in the host of different ministries here. My point tonight is to thank you and to commend your service to the Lord. Your work of faith, as Paul calls it, your labor of love. That word labor literally means your turmoil, the toil. It has the idea of a woman in labor, in birth pangs. And your patience or your confidence rest in hope. It is evident in the grand way in which our church functions. I have been told often by guests of the church, I've not seen a church that functions so well as this one. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with those that I rejoice over and joy in. The second passage I would point you to, if you'll turn very quickly, is into chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, beginning in verse number 11, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together." This is to all of us this evening. I'm done with direct personal statements to those that so greatly impact the work of the ministry day by day. I talk to all of us who are part of the ministry. "Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another, even as also ye do." To the Thessalonians, he's saying, you're already doing this, but I must tell you, this is what a church ought to do. I feel like Paul. There's a lot of times in services, I honestly feel like you all could get up and preach a better message than I could. Because you love the Lord so much. "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." You do that. We know that. Our family particularly is a grand beneficiary of that. And then he says, "Be at peace among yourselves." For all of us, being a member of a church means we encourage one another. That is to come alongside or to come near to aid in their strength, that word. Paul admonishes the Thessalonians to encourage, to comfort, to edify, and to esteem each other, and those who minister in their lives. Just a few months later, in chapter 2 and verse 1, or chapter, excuse me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul would write his second letter, and he would say this in verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." That, my friend, is a healthy church. And I can tell you by evidence that is who this church is. A final thought then this evening before we go to communion. In chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I pray this daily. When people say, "Well, what do you pray for me, Pastor?" This verse, almost every day I pray this verse. I don't go to where you work. I don't live in your home and deal with the struggles that you face. But I can pray that God would sanctify you wholly. I can pray that He would keep your body, soul, and spirit blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. I pray that God, in His stabilizing presence, would lead you into a life more like Christ and less like your old Adamic nature. That's how I pray for you. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The second part of my prayer is that I pray every part of you would be guarded by the person and presence of God at the end of verse 23. That the Scriptures would dominate your life, that the Spirit would direct your thoughts, and that the sense of duty and faithfulness would define your very actions in your body. That's what Paul is saying. Your psuche, your pneuma, and your soma. That is your spirit, soul, and body. Or soul, excuse me, psuche. Spirit and body. It is undeniable that our soul and spirit, though both immaterial, are unique from each other. Our psuche, our psyche, and pneuma speak to that which is regenerated at salvation and that which is renewed through your sanctification. I pray that you're saved. You say, "Well, I already got saved." Hallelujah. The next thing I pray for you is that you would be sanctified in the spirit of your mind. These are my thoughts. These are my joys. That you desire to grow in grace and that you evidence obedience. These are the thrill of my soul and the satisfaction of my work. It's why I believe God called me here, and I'm glad to pastor. It is in this spirit, then, that we turn ourselves to the Lord's table tonight. Not thinking and thanking men and women, but thanking God for the people who serve Him in this place. And as we come before the table, it is the elements of the table that allow us to serve Him, His broken body and His shed blood. Without them, there would be no hope for any of us. And so you say, Pastor, what should I pray tonight? When we come to communion, it's often one of those questions of, how should I approach the table? Somber and serious. Yes, those are elements of it. But I think it's also a time to come satisfied, recognizing that Jesus indeed paid it all. So all to Him I owe. Sin, boy, it left its crimson stain, but His blood washes it white as snow. As we come to the table this evening, may we rejoice and joy in one another, because in us dwells the fullness of God in the person of Jesus Christ and His residing Spirit. Father,